This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Today, March 1st, 2026, in the day of God's Spirit. And I'd like to ask you a question. How big a deal is that to you today? How important, how wonderful is it that you sitting here live in the age of God's Spirit? I want to take the next few weeks and hone in on this concept of living in the age of God's Spirit that happened at this event we call Pentecost. If you've been in the church for any number of years, Pentecost has, in your estimation, probably been devalued. People tend to think of Pentecost simply as, you know, this is the birthday of the church, move on. Or, you know, this is some event that has to do with something in the Old Testament where people got the Holy Spirit, move on. We devalue what God did in this moment of human history. I was talking to a friend, or a co-worker who was a friend at the time, and he was telling me how he wanted to buy land, and he wanted to invest in land. And so he called up a realtor who lives in town here, and he talked to the realtor, and the realtor did a little bit of digging, and somehow, in some way, the realtor knew an old lady, I think it was a couple, sisters or whatnot, who had some land south of Dodgeville. And he talked to them and got to talking about these 80 acres. And this was a few years ago. And it's right south of town. There's a big tower when you go south of, am I going right? Yeah, that way. There's a big tower when you go south of town, blinking light, cell tower, I think it is. And that's on the 80 acres. And my friend talked to this realtor who talked to the owners, and somehow they were interested in selling this 80 acres. And they shared the price with him, and he shared the price with my friend. It was $5,000 an acre. Now, most of us in this room don't know the value of land possibly going right now outside of towns and cities. But for ag land, $5,000 an acre is, no pun intended, dirt cheap. Dirt cheap. Especially land that is on the border of a city that could be developed in the future if the city grows. And so he was dumbfounded. He ended up buying it. And we talked, and he said he could take that land, turn it around, and sell it for $10,000 an acre if he wanted. See, what happened was the owners of the land did not value the land as they should have. They did not learn the value of their land based on, you know, surrounding things. Now, I didn't come here to talk to you about money and prosperity. Amen. I came here to talk to you about the Spirit of God. But here's the connection. We devalue the significance of what happened at Pentecost. We've got blessings abundant in our lives, available. But sometimes we don't realize it. So these next few weeks, what I want us to do is understand, teach you, this is the value of what you have in God's Spirit today. We start with the mysteries of Pentecost, the things that happened on this event that were foreshadowed in the Old Testament. What you're going to see is that this was not just some out-of-the-blue idea like some people teach. Like, you know, the Jews were going on and then, boom, this church age just suddenly infiltrated. Nobody knew about it and it just came into being and now everything else previous is done away with and here's the new era. That's not what happened. This was a fulfillment of foreshadows in the Old Testament, and the dynamic of God's people changed, utterly changed.
What God did at Pentecost ties in, I want to bring to our attention, three Old Testament mentions. And with each of these, you're going to think, wait, God did this for me? God did this for me. God did this for you. And this is what you have. See, you live in an age that's different than pre-Pentecost. Very different. You live in an age that's post-Pentecost, and all that's involved we'll see here. So there's three concepts I want us to picture in our mind here this morning. The first is this, two loaves. Everybody say, two loaves. Two loaves. The second concept is this, tower. Everybody say, tower. Two loaves, tower, and finally, Torah. Everybody say, Torah. What we see in Pentecost is a fulfillment of Old Testament foreshadows in two loaves, in the tower, and in the Torah. Let's start with the two loaves. Turn, if you will, to Leviticus chapter 23. Now, when it says in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, what we realize is that this is an established feast of the Jews. This was an Old Testament feast that the Jews observed every year. There were three feasts that they had to travel to Jerusalem, and this was one of them. So if you open up to Leviticus chapter 23, this is called the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot. You've probably heard that phrase before. Shavuot means seven, Feast of Weeks. But elsewhere, it's also called the Feast of Harvest, and we'll talk about that. But look, if you will, in verse 15. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Verse 16. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. So 50 days is where we get Pentecost. It's 50 in Greek, pentem. You shall count 50 days. Verse 17, you shall bring from your dwellings two wave loaves of two tenths of an ephah, and they shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread seven lambs of the first year without blemish, one young bull and two rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offering, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats as a sin offering and two male lambs of the first year of a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. When you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. There's a lot there to draw from, but I want to highlight a few things for you. First, this is called the Feast of Harvest, elsewhere in the Bible. In this culture, at this time, when they celebrated this, the wheat harvest had grown, and they were gathering in the first of the harvest. They were commanded to take a portion of that first fruits and give it to the Lord as an offering to thank God for the harvest. Listen now, they thanked God for the time of the harvest. I'll say it again. They were thanking God because it was a time of harvest. Significant that I want to draw attention to was that they had to take some of that first fruit, that wheat, and grind it into fine flour. Take that wheat, grind it, crush it into fine flour, and then use that fine flour to bake with leaven, the only offering made with leaven, two loaves. So imagine two loaves of bread, there's the two loaves, made with fine flour, presented to the Lord. It was a feast of harvest. So what is being revealed in the time of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2?
Well, the Jews knew that Pentecost was a time when you bring the first of the wheat harvest to God. And what happened at Pentecost that day is that God moved to bring in the harvest time for the souls of men. Since the day of Pentecost, it has been harvest time. It has been time to go into the field and collect God's harvest. The time of bringing souls into the kingdom of God. It was the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were saved and baptized to declare that they have given their lives to Jesus Christ. Before Pentecost, there were 120 disciples gathered at this point. Since Pentecost, multitudes and multitudes more were being brought in. We are living in, you are living in the time of harvest. And there's another thing that some people have drawn attention to. It's debatable, but I think it's worth bringing up. The idea of the crushed flour baking two loaves. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 23 and 24, Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Paul talks about in Romans chapter 11, verse 16, "For if the first fruits are holy, the lump is also holy." There's this idea of Jesus being the crushed wheat of the first fruits, and believing in him is created in two sinful groups of people. Leaven represents sin, two loaves, both Jew and Gentile, presented to the Lord as a wave offering. From the day of Pentecost, God's harvest first started to the Jews as they started trusting in Jesus initially, but then it expanded out as many of the Jews rejected that. It expanded out, and then they were gathered into the kingdom of God, Gentiles. That's you, unless you're Jewish. Which I think we're all Gentile here. Amen. You are part of a loaf, what they'd say. Since the day of Pentecost, the harvest has come in. You are here today because of God's harvest. And now we are called to go out and bring more in. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Amen? The laborers are few. We are called to be part of God's gathering team. We are called to be the team that goes out and as laborers bring the gospel to our neighbors, bring the gospel to our friends, bring the gospel to our family, and be the reapers to bring in God's harvest into the kingdom. This is the era that we lived in that started at Pentecost and is here today. Faith Fellowship Church exists to be a labor training camp for you to go out into your fields tomorrow and reach souls for Jesus Christ. It's harvest time. Don't miss it. Because if we miss it, we'll miss the reward. We'll be in heaven, but we'll miss the reward of rejoicing in the harvest that we are there for. I remember when, I've had many sweet corn stories, but I remember when my boss's dad, he had a big field and the corner of the field was not developed, and he said, "You can do whatever you want there." So Alicia and I, we went out there, we tilled the whole thing, and we planted sweet corn, a bunch of it, just a bunch of sweet corn, and we go there and we try to weed it, and it was out of control. We couldn't keep act with the weeds. It was so crazy. But the day came where I was going to go and harvest, but because I was lazy, didn't do my research, didn't pay attention to when it was ripening, I was too late. I went to that field to get the harvest, and somebody beat me to it. The stalks were decimated. They were opened up. They were eaten. They were falling on the ground, and I don't know, deer, coons, whatever, had gotten there before I did. Listen, you don't want to miss out on the harvest.
You want to be able to get out there and be a part of bringing people into the kingdom. You don't want to get to heaven and go, I missed it. Oh, all those opportunities I had to share with my friends and family about Jesus Christ. We are in the harvest season. That's what Pentecost is teaching us. It's the season of harvest. Pentecost, the feast of harvest. Are we God's laborers today? But there's another image that's being brought to us in Acts chapter 2 with the day of Pentecost. So we had the two loaves. We're in the season of harvest. Secondly, the tower. And the day of Pentecost, there came from heaven, God came down and divided so that many languages were spoken and brought unity. And the people were confused at what they heard. They were all confused at what they heard. Verse 6, verse 5, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Is there any other part in the Bible where languages, confusion, and division occurred? Go back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 11, the people are gathered together not to seek God, but to establish their own way of approaching God, their own way of worshiping God. And God wanted them to go out and fill the earth. But in verse 1 of chapter 11 of Genesis, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. But look at verse 5. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they shall have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. They had one language. They came together to reject God. God came down, confused them, and divided them into many languages. You see, in Genesis, the people were confused because divided tongues caused a scattering. But in the books and Acts, people were confused because divided tongues caused a regathering. Brothers and sisters, we are living in the age not of confusion anymore, but of clarity. We are living in the age of understanding. Here's why. The Bible says that the natural man does not receive the things of God. They are foolishness to them. But the moment the Holy Spirit starts working in a person's heart, the Holy Spirit brings clarity to the truth that they're hearing so that they can grasp it. The Holy Spirit brings clarity from confusion. You speak the truth of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit speaks that truth into a dark, dead heart. That's the age we live in. How much confidence would that put in you as you present the truth to your brothers and sisters, to your family members, to your coworkers that are lost? Listen, you can depend on God's Spirit to bring clarity out of confusion. People are not going to understand the truth unless the Spirit of God reveals it to them. We'll talk in the future about the whole tongues thing, but the idea here is that unless there is an interpretation, all you have is confusion. And at the day of Pentecost, there were many languages spoken, and there was an interpretation to bring clarity. I can speak in tongues.
Do I have your attention? No. We're in a church setting. The Bible says that in church settings, one can speak in tongues.
Allons enfants de la patrie, le jour de gloire est arrivé. Continue de la tyrannie, les talons sont grands élevés. Entendez-vous dans les campagnes mugir ces féroces et soldats. Ils viennent jusque dans nos bras et gougent nos fils et nos campagnes.
Now, what did I just say?
I'm an interpreter.
That's true. And unless there's an interpreter of French, you'll never know, because I just sang the French national anthem. You see, with languages, you need interpretation. And any unbeliever can pick up the Bible and read this word in their language. But unless the Spirit of God comes into that person's heart, there will not be understanding. It will be gibberish to them. There are secular professors who have more Bible memorized than all of us in this room put together. But they have not submitted to the voice of God. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord is mighty and powerful. And when you present the word of God to your loved ones that are unsaved, you are presenting the voice of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Do not doubt God's word. Take confidence in God's word. Depend on, rely on God's word, not your own cleverness. We are in the age of understanding. Have you asked God to show you the available power of the Spirit in the Word of God for you in your own devotions, for your loved ones as you share the gospel? The tower brought confusion and confusion to many languages. In the book of Acts, with Pentecost, there was clarity in many languages. You and I live in the age of clarity. Are you seeing the value of the age that you live in? Remember, we're valuing Pentecost now. It's not just one little thing that happened in history. This is for you. The age that you live in is the age of the harvest, is the age of understanding. Finally, the Torah. Everybody say Torah.
Or.
What happened at Pentecost is also a celebration of what happened when the Israelites received the Torah at Sinai.
Go back, if you will, to Exodus chapter 19.
In Exodus 19, God is about to give the people the Ten Commandments. And he says this in verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So, look now. Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people and washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. See the picture? And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by what? Voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. And it goes on. In chapter 20, God spoke all these words, and he gave the Torah, the law, to the people.
At Pentecost, God gave the Torah to the people, not written on tablets of stone, but written on your heart by the Holy Spirit. At Mount Sinai, God gave the Torah. At Pentecost, God writes the Torah on our hearts. At Mount Sinai, God came down on the mountain with fire. At Pentecost, God came down on his people with fire. And there's even a Jewish tradition, I'm skeptical of it, but there's this Jewish tradition that at Mount Sinai, God spoke in 70 languages that were these thunderings that sounded like voices of many thunderings, 70 languages to the 70 people scattered throughout the world. At Mount Sinai, this was a Ray Vanderlaan thing I did not know. At Mount Sinai, 3,000 people were killed because of their disobedience to the law. At Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved because of receiving the gospel. We are living in the age of indwelling power. And this is what we're going to unpack in the weeks to come. When God came down at Pentecost, he came down with power to indwell his people. Now you have the very power and presence of God present at Sinai inside of you. For now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And now you have the power of God. You have the power of God to overcome sin, for it's written on your heart what is right and wrong. You have the power of God to overcome temptation because God's Spirit is with you, which is greater than he who is in the world. Amen? You have God's power available to you that was not present at Sinai. They saw the power at a mountain, but they were afraid and they walked away. Now at Pentecost, God comes and he says, I'm dwelling inside of you and I'm going to live through you. And we don't value that, do we? We don't value that. We need to sit down, get along with God, and say, God, show me what it means to live in a post-Pentecostal age. I'm not talking about Pentecostalism. I'm talking about post-Pentecostal age, the age of the Spirit, the age of God's power. And ask God to radically transform how I live for him. Now it's written on my heart. I can understand this word. Now it's enabled in this fleshly body that I can do his will. You and I may struggle. You and I may fall. You and I will stumble. But the key to looking back and getting up is not looking to ourselves. It is looking to God's presence inside of you. If we as a church want to be effective in the community, it's not looking to our own intuition. It's looking to God's presence in the church. That's where the power is. Amen. We have been made a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous, what? Light. The Torah, the tower, the two loaves. Brothers and sisters, today we live in the age of God's Spirit. That is the age of harvest. That is the age of understanding. And that is the age of indwelling power. I'd like to encourage every single person here. This week, I, in a sense, have to study Acts chapter 2 because I'm preaching through it. But my challenge for you is to go home, sit down, and read Acts chapter 2. Take out of your head all the contemporary, denominational stuff that we have presuppositions. Just open God's word and ask him, God, show me. The age I live in, help me to value this and see it for all that it is. And then let us return as God's people to worship him with a fresh understanding of who we are and what time and age we live in. Amen? That's my challenge. All that was purchased at the cross, all that was delivered through the Pentecostal ingathering and indwelling of the Spirit. May we value that more and more each day. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of Pentecost. Thank you for the things that we're going to look at in the time to come that you would permit to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit, to understand what it means to be living in the last days. We're living in the last days. We're going to see what that means. To understand what it means to have manifestation of your Spirit according to your word. Oh, dear God, may we cherish, appreciate, and value the time we live in. For your glory, in Jesus' name, all God's people say together, amen, amen.